Angela so. Weck is our friend and our brain when it comes to all things Russia. This is her area of expertise. She is at Bradley University, also with the World Affairs Council here in Peoria. Angela, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us where we are. Did yesterday the president got a lot of eyebrows up when he said something about, I'm paraphrasing, well, if it's a minor incursion, is that the word he used? We probably won't do anything. And that seemed like to many, giving Mr. Putin permission to do some small thing, maybe not an invasion of Ukraine, but something little. And a lot of people are worried about that. Can you put all of this in context for us, please?
I would say those were a particularly poor choice of words. But what he's referring to is if Russia takes additional action in the two provinces where they're already taking action, what's the point of doing something when they're already doing it and have been doing it for, you know, 5 years?
And what, to folks to folks who have not been following it for 5 years, what are they doing in those provinces?
Essentially, it's a civil war in the provinces of Donetsk and Luhansk in the far eastern side of Ukraine, which borders Russia. There are plenty of ethnic Russian people who live in those provinces, and there are a lot of pro-Russian people who consider themselves Ukrainian citizens who live in those provinces. And so they rebelled several years ago after Russia took back Crimea, with the idea that they would get independence, and they needed Russia's help to fight Ukrainian forces to break away from Ukraine. The people living in Donetsk and Luhansk don't necessarily want to rejoin Russia. They want independence. The problem is, stuck between Russia and Ukraine, they're never going to get it. But the bottom line is Russian and pro-Russian rebels have already been active and continue to be active every day in those two far eastern provinces in Donetsk and Luhansk.
You know, Russia, a lot of people feel that they want certain demands, like Ukraine will never join NATO. But Ukraine would say, okay, but the reason we may have to join NATO is because of your aggression. So it kind of seems like a chicken and egg thing. But Russia wants to make sure they'll never join NATO. But Ukraine's like, well, we may have to join NATO if you threaten us.
You know, that's actually a false argument, only because Ukraine is not even eligible to join NATO at this point because it doesn't have secure borders. So it's less likely to join the European Union because it doesn't have financial transparency and governance transparency. So it's never going to get in NATO until its borders are secure. And as long as those rebels in Donetsk and Luhansk are active, it's never going to be even eligible to join NATO. So that's kind of a false argument on Putin's side. The last expansion of NATO was 1997, and he's trying to roll back those additions to NATO. Seriously, do you think Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, any of those countries are going to voluntarily say, sure, we'll get out of NATO so that we can make Putin happy?
Yeah. What would the motive? There's zero motivation for anybody to do that. That's funny.
And you also have to remember, every country has its own sovereignty. It's not even up to the United States whether Ukraine is in NATO. It's up to Ukraine whether Ukraine wants to be in NATO. It's not up to anybody else but Ukrainians.
Angela, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but remind us and our listeners why this matters to us. It's easy to go noise, Putin this, Putin that, Biden this, even when Mr. Trump was president, whatever. I don't care. I live here in Peoria. Why does this whole matter matter?
Ukraine is an important part of Europe. So it has a lot of natural resources, gas, oil, coal. It's great for agriculture. It has a very educated population with, they're entrepreneurs. It's leaning more toward a free market economy than toward a controlled economy like Russia seems to be reverting back to. So Ukraine is an important part of Europe. And so peace in Ukraine is always in everybody's best interest. But, you know, those countries I just mentioned, Poland, Estonia, Bulgaria, Romania, the other neighbors who are part of NATO, if Russia takes action in Ukraine, who's to say they'll stop in Ukraine and won't just keep rolling into Poland? Poland and Estonia, for example, are two of the countries in NATO who have actually stepped up their defense budget. They have met the threshold of investing in their own defense. So if they asked for NATO's help to repel Russia, NATO would be obligated to do so.
Got it.
So it does affect us here.
So
a lot of gas and oil come out of Ukraine.
Right. But Putin has kind of a hold over Europe because of some of their restrictions towards green energy and their dependence on Russia for natural gas and other resources. So Putin does have kind of a leverage over what Europe does. I mean, he could threaten them by withholding energy, couldn't he?
He can, and he has. That Nord Stream 2 pipeline that's coming under the Baltic Sea and feeding Germany would bypass some of the other land pipelines. And Germany was very excited about it and still is. But there are other places that Europe can get, particularly gas. And, you know, because right now Germany gets about 30% of its gas from Russia. So that's a huge, you know, hold over the energy resources of Europe that Russia has, except that if this threat continues as it has continued, many of those countries are already looking for other locations, other places for their energy sources. And Germany has committed that if Russia invades, they will not turn on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So they've already made that bold statement that, you know, you think you're holding this over our head, but you're not. We're not going to turn it on if you take these steps.
Angela, we're going to have to wrap up, but I want to get to two things. One, a short answer to this question. Angela Weck at Bradley University, our go-to expert on all things Russia. Do you think we'll end up at war with Russia?
Honestly, I don't know, but I think it's not likely. Okay. I think the cost for Putin to invade Ukraine is very high in his own home.
Got it.
It would be a political disaster at home,
okay,
as well as an economic
That's
disaster.
Good. That's good.
So the second part of it is, what is your prediction? Just mainly just mission creep to keep pushing quietly into Ukraine little by little without upsetting the apple cart?
I think what Putin wants is recognition that he's a great power. And if we start treating him differently, that is not giving in to his demands, because his demands are ludicrous, frankly. But if we begin to consult him over Syria, for example, or, you know, work a little more closely when we talk about what happens in Moldova and even Ukraine, I think he would be pacified. It would certainly cut his policies off at the knees. But we cannot, as a world and as the United States, give in to these kinds of demands, because they're not demands that we can give in.
Sounds like we need to, like,
sovereign state.
Sounds like we need to just to kind of butter him up so he looks good in front of his own people.
A little bit. I think that this move is mostly for his domestic audience. So if his domestic audience supports war, he'll cross the border.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.